remember the time when that mom drove her kids into a lake? She survived, but her three sons, though they did not. Susan Smith was her name. If you remember this was back in 1994. I was a mere child back then. I remember seeing this.
I was a wee tot. I just finished college. I remember the story all too well.
I think I remember covering this on my play radio station with the boombox where I was broadcasting to my cat. Yep. And it was in the news at the time, so I was covering it in depth. I would have been in 94, what, 12? I think I was 12. This was a horrible, horrible case. It took place in South Carolina. It stood out as one of the most heartbreaking and chilling incidents of the time. And it stood out because this shit didn't happen all the time. As today, we look at true crime, and this shit happens almost every week. It really does. I mean, I remember when this really is like, oh my gosh, remember that woman who drowned her kids? Fuck, look at the headlines. I could find you like 10 stories in 10 minutes about a parent killing their children in some sort of horrific way.
Easily. And don't forget, too, the reason that this grabs headlines wasn't just that a mother decided to kill her children. It first came off as a carjacking by a person of color. So it got people riled up thinking that there were people of color running around carjacking and killing children.
Yeah, very much like what was her name? Who said that Hispanic woman attacked her and then she just blaming shit on somebody that didn't exist. Susan Smith's harrowing tale or spun harrowing tale claimed that an unidentified black man had carjacked her vehicle with her sons inside. The nation was gripped with fear and sympathy, but as the investigation progressed, the more sinister reality surfaced. Susan, in a heinous act, had fastened her young children into their car seats and with cold precision released her car into a lake, leading to their drowning. Kids are literally locked in the car. Mom puts it in gear, gets out, and drowns the kids. Evil. The motive behind such a horrifying act was allegedly an affair gone wrong. Susan's partner at the time ended the relationship reportedly because he did not desire children. Well, to Susan, that didn't seem quite right. She vehemently denied the affair being the cause and in later years described her actions as unplanned, stating she was not in her right mind.
Oh, no shit. Thanks for that.
You were not in your right mind at that current, that moment in time. And you know what? Because you weren't, you don't get to do the rest of your life. Sorry. Her deceitfulness didn't end there. After the incident, Susan, alongside her then husband, David, made television pleas, requesting the return of their children, amplifying the anguish of the situation. Post her arrest, her defense argued for leniency, pointing towards potential mental health struggles. Susan was saved from the death penalty, but was handed a life sentence. But in America, Q Brooks and Dunn, only in America, you have a chance to get your ass out of jail 25 years later. And guess what? We're at 25 years later.
My God.
In November of 2024, Susan Smith will become eligible for parole, a move that has polarized opinions and regained the emotional wounds of the past. Family members alongside the general public largely lean against her release. One relative said she's exactly where she needs to be. Susan's incarceration at the Leda Correctional Institute in Greenwood, South Carolina, hasn't been free from controversies either. She hasn't been a model prisoner. Surprise! Originally confined to Columbia's Women's Correctional Center, Susan had to be relocated to Leda following a series of scandals. And far from exemplary in her status, with multiple infractions for self-harm, drug use, and more. Perhaps even more shocking are revelations from Susan's relationships with prison guards. New York Post reports that Susan's time in prison has been tumultuous of a roller coaster and misconduct. In a notorious 2000 incident, a liaison with a 50-year-old guard, Houston Cagle, left her with an STD. Cagle faced a three-month prison term for fucking her. A year later, a prison captain admitted to having intimate relations with Susan, which led to a five-year probation for him. She's evil. She's trying to manipulate people with sex. Behind bars, after she drowned her children, after she went on television, blamed a black guy, And now she's fucking guards in prison. And now she wants to get out. Susan's troubles inside continued with disciplinary actions against her in 2010 and 2015 due to drug-related offenses. Very significant.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How are you getting drugs in prison?
Oh, it happens.
I know. Okay, I know in theory.
How?
It happens,
I don't know, but they got a ways. They got ways. I have never really like studied like how do I get it to this way, to that person. I'm guessing if she's fucking guards, maybe that might be the way she's getting drugs.
Oh, Lord.
That might be a way to get drugs in prison if you suck off the guard. Former inmates have spoken out about the internal drug nexus. Christy Smith, a past cellmate, alleged that Susan compensated her to smuggle drugs. There we go. She's paying off people, too. Another ex-inmate, Stephanie Holsey, gave insight into the crafty methods inmates employed to sneak pills, often hiding them within their cheeks to elude guards.
Are we talking their mouth or their butt?
That's a good question. I suppose anything's up for use in this sort of a situation. But November,
where is she getting money? If she's compensating people, are we talking? I mean, do they make money? I guess I don't know enough about prison.
Well, you got money to put in the canteen and things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, that could probably be what's going on. I imagine she has a list of just as male prisoners have girlfriends that write letters from the outside in because they're fucking crazy. I'm guessing it works the other way too. There's plenty of men who are desperate and view her as a potential target for a relationship. And I guess, she views it as some sort of companionship and a way to manipulate and leech money off of a person as well. Especially if, she says, yeah, conjugal visit time, come on in.
Ugh, yuck.
So Susan Smith back in the news 25 years later, up for possible parole. Okay, well, we'll keep our eyes on this. She looks dramatically different, by the way, than she used to.
Yeah, she does. And by the way, family members, really, you mentioned earlier that they feel that she's where she needs to be. A spokesperson for the South Carolina Department of Probation, Parole, and Pardon Services tells a news station that inmates often ask their family members to file an affidavit in support of their release. It's not mandatory, but in her case, a relative was quoted as saying, I'm glad she's cleaned up her act. I'm glad she can be productive inside prison. But that's where she needs to stay. What's she going to do when she gets out? What's the plan? She doesn't have one. And if I'm being really honest with you, I don't want her in my house. Every time I'd look at her, I'd think of those boys and it would be too much. So no Thanksgiving dinner at family's house for her, that's for sure.
And an interesting definition of productive as well.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi